Welcome to the Jeffers Brief, only on Contra Radio Network.
And another episode of the Jeffers Brief. I'm John Jeffers here, welcoming you to another exciting, information-filled episode. I'm glad you're here. I really am. Please. Welcome. All right. We got a lot going on, as you're probably well aware of. The Democrats have decided to lose their mind. You know, this has been just like the week from hell for the Democrats. First, we got international globalists and leftists have decided to unveil a wailing 16-year-old sophomore in high school lecturing world leaders about climate change. Really? This is your expert? This is, you know, and you look at her facial expressions, it just tells you everything you need to know. It's the facial expression that says, yes, I've been indoctrinated, brainwashed, and I'm entitled. Don't you dare question me. And of course, the media is drooling all over her. I'm surprised she doesn't need a shower every time you see her with the media drooling on her. You know, God forbid anyone question her. Right, Fox News? You don't want to, oh, we're sorry. You know what? I don't know what's going on at Fox News. Actually, I do know what's going on there. But I've got, you know, when you sit there and you apologize because somebody says something on your network you don't like, you know what I say? You can kiss my backside. Both halves. Both sides, long and hard, baby, because I don't care. I don't. But anyways, you know, we can't question her, but, you know, God forbid if you're a teen wearing a MAGA hat. Oh! And then we slander the young lad. But that's okay. But don't you dare question little Greta. Kiss off. Make me sick. You know what? For those of you that are old enough to remember the 1970s, a certain NASA scientist said, there's a new ice age coming. It's a new ice age. We're all going to die. Then in the 1980s, it was acid rain. We're all going to die. We must give more money. And, of course, in the 1990s, the ozone layer is gone. Well, you know what? I've been in my backyard spraying a can of aerosol right directly up in the sky. You know, the ozone's still here. But we're all going to die. The ozone layer is gone. Then in 2000, the same scientist who said in 1970, new ice age, it's global warming is melting the glaciers. We're all going to die. And, of course, the global warming thing didn't work. So they changed the term from global warming to, in the 2010s, to climate change. And in 12 years, we're all going to die. Shut up. So ridiculous, I can't even stand it. I can't. Now, look, later on, all week and all next week, as the mainstream media drools on itself, trips over its own Johnson. You know, they're wandering in their wet dream right now with the fact that, oh, we're going to impeach Trump. Really? On what charges? What criminal charges? I'm waiting. You know, and I look, I've been on Disgracebook enough to realize, you know, every once in a while, you'll get some lib who decides to stick their neck out of their shell like a turtle and says, well, you know, there are crimes. Well, okay, tell me what crimes President Trump has committed. What crimes has he been convicted of? And you never hear from them again because you know what? There aren't any. As you can probably hear in the background, Banjo the Wonder Dog has found that somebody is walking across the road from the house and therefore must be barked at all cost. Or there's a squirrel in the yard. Again, it's the same thing. It must be barked at and threatened. Okay, he's a good dog. Anyways, getting back to it. You know, the fact is Pelosi has lost control of her own caucus. Now, you may hear about a little bit here and there. You may not. But know this. It's not going to go anywhere. This is for show. The radical leftists in the Democrat Party, led by the ass of Congress, AOC, that's what I call her, AOC, ass of Congress, and they said, we got to impeach, we got to impeach, we got to impeach. We don't like him. Well, that's because you don't like him is not an impeachable offense. Too bad. Get over it. You know, you lost the election in 2016, and I guarantee you, with this boneheaded move you've done, it's all but guaranteed a landslide for Trump. It will be. By the way, want to say thank you to the listeners in Canada. More listeners in Canada are tuning in, especially in the Yukon province. Thanks, guys. And in Australia. Yes, thank you. We've got listenership increase there. And something interesting here in the United States, you know, I was looking at the downloads by state, and I can, you know, I've got the thing for it on Podbean to look at it. California is leading this month so far with downloads. Welcome, Californians. Welcome home. Welcome back. I know you never left, but you have been smothered. Smothered by the coastal Californians who just can't seem to get their act together. Never have and never will. And that's their fault. Because if you live in, if you're a conservative living on the coast in California, you will never, ever, ever have your voice heard. However, if you live in the eastern half of California, you will. Unfortunately, the eastern half is always outvoted by the western, the coastal Californians. But anyways, that's another issue. Now, you're going to hear all week about impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. But something I want you to listen here. Gateway Pundit got this. And they found it off the CNN live feed. I know. Just follow me here. Pelosi accidentally tells the truth. And I did. She admits that earlier yesterday, everything they're doing is an attempt to stop Trump from being elected. They can't win the election. They know it. And something else too. If they're going to look at the impeachment of Trump and they look at the transcript, which is nothing there, you know what? They're going to have to look at Biden's actions as the vice president of the United States. Not as a candidate, as vice president. By the way, his son gets paid $166,000 a month. A month. And he gets it from the Ukraine gas company that he just happens to sit on the board. Why is he on that board? He has no inkling about energy. None. Zero. Not natural gas, not nuclear, not fossil fuels, nothing. Why is he there? Something to think about. But anyways, getting back to it. So meanwhile, we've got this, all right? And you know what? I'm going to let you listen for it. You can, you know, she actually tells the truth, which is everything they're doing is an attempt to stop Donald Trump, the president of the United States, the duly elected president, from getting democratically reelected. He can't win, and this is very serious, okay? So listen to this. This is Nancy. Listen to this.
What's more serious is that he can't win. That is very serious to our country, to us as America. What is America? America is our Constitution. with our system of checks and balances, a republic, freedom of expression, freedom of the press, the guardian of our democracy, the press. That's one, that's America.
Yes, Nancy, thank you. Nancy, why don't you have another drink, dear? Yeah, you make a lot of sense when you're drinking, you goof. So anyways, now the whistleblower in question, look, you may hear this, you may not. However, I'm here to tell you, one, this quote-unquote whistleblower complaint is hearsay. That person never even was on the call. Has no idea what was said. You can't even bring this person into court to testify because it's hearsay. And then we turned out that now they've given money to the Biden campaign. And there seems to be an issue of whether or not this person is even protected by the whistleblower statute. I know. It's getting crazy. I know. And here's, this is from Sundance yesterday. Now, according to latest reports, the mysterious secondhand whistleblower was motivated by documented political bias against President Trump, as discovered by the Intelligence Community Inspector General Michael Atkinson. This information will likely be released tomorrow in combination with a transcript of the phone call between President Trump and President Zelensky. Now, Secretary of State Pompeo did receive permission from the Ukraine government to release the transcript of the telephone call. And they don't know what the big deal is either. It's a total witch hunt scam by the Democrats. We know that. Additionally, the New York Times is confirming that White House lawyers are trying to urgently clear a path to push the whistleblower into the arms of the politically weaponized House and Senate Intelligence Committees. According to them, White House and intelligence officials are working out a deal to allow the whistleblower who filed an explosive complaint about President Trump to speak with congressional investigators. Remember, this is the New York Times. You know, last week is, we got a bombshell about Kavanaugh. Okay. So the Director of National Intelligence is also expected to release a redacted version of the whistleblower's complaint in coming days, people familiar with the situation said. Now, it might be worth revisiting President Trump's earlier warnings to the media when he was first hit with questions about the issue. Oh, he's, you know, the interview transcript is question, Mr. President, do you want to address this whistleblower story, sir? Will you be asking? President Trump says, wait a moment, please. Question, do you want to address this whistleblower story? President Trump says, what story? The question, the whistleblower, whether it was, and it's inaudible. And the president replies, it's a ridiculous story. It's a partisan whistleblower. Shouldn't even have information. I've had conversations with many leaders that are always appropriate. I think Scott can tell you that. Always appropriate at the highest level. Always appropriate. Anything I do, I fight for this country. I fight so strong for this country. It's just another political hack job. One thing you need to know about this. The president was not on a private phone call. You got national security advisors and other people taking notes. And when they're done, they pull all their notes together and they write up a memorandum. Now, it's not the same as a transcript you would get like in court where it's, you know, verbatim. It's a memorandum. So everybody understands who said what was talked about, that kind of thing. Now, the Democrats are going to scream, well, this isn't it. This is not real. Da, da, da. These fools will die in their sleep, on their deathbed, screaming about Trump. Now, it just goes on and on and on. It's just ridiculous. However, my good friends, let's listen to Ed Henry over at Fox News and listen to what he has to say, or what he found out yesterday.
Is our very own Ed Henry. Ed. Sean, I've got some breaking news. I spoke to a senior administration official a short time ago who said that the White House is not just releasing the transcript of this July 25th phone call tomorrow. They'll be releasing other documents, including a look at what the inspector general at the intelligence community found about the whistleblower who started this whole thing, alleging some wrongdoing by the president. Here's the key information. I'm told by this senior administration official that the inspector general found that the whistleblower had, quote unquote, political bias in favor of a rival candidate of President Trump.
Say it ain't so.
In 2020. Now, this official did not have the specific information as to whether or not the whistleblower, in some sort of a background search, they found that the whistleblower supports Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren. I do not have the name of the 2020 candidate, but this senior official is telling me we're going to learn tomorrow, and we're learning tonight for the first time here on Hannity, that the whistleblower who's been held up as a truth teller, you know, who's just sort of down the middle and just trying to lay out the facts as they see them about President Trump, actually, as the inspector general did an investigation here to get at the root of whether or not any of the allegations against the president are true, found some sort of political bias. I don't know if they found emails, if there was an interview with the whistleblower, but this senior official is telling me that, the inspector general found political bias in favor of a rival candidate of President Trump. I can guarantee you, based on what I'm hearing tonight from this official, that we're going to be hearing a lot more about this tomorrow. This official, who is familiar with the transcript of that call, also told me that there is no smoking gun in this transcript, that it's nowhere near as inflammatory as Democrats and some of the media have suggested. But I will add that this senior official told me that there are at least a few words, in the words of this official, a few words in the transcript that are going to raise eyebrows and are going to cause political headaches for the White House. As you can imagine, there's going to be a lot of back and forth about the context of the call, the details. But this senior official who's seen the transcript of the call is telling me there's absolutely no smoking gun in there that is going to prove anything incriminating or damaging.
Ed, I have the same report. My sources are saying absolutely no quid pro quo. It's like about three lines. They were talking about corruption. The new president ran on an anti-corruption platform. But to reiterate here, what you're saying is the so-called whistleblower, we know it wasn't a real whistleblower because it was secondhand information, had a political agenda. That is huge news. But here's what I would like to say. Is Joe Biden going to release his conversations? And I would like to demand that Joe Biden now release all of his conversations that he had when he was vice president with Ukraine, especially now in light of what we learned about Joe Biden bragging on tape about how he leveraged a billion U.S. dollars. Why would a vice president of the United States ever want a prosecutor in Ukraine fired? Right. Oh, the guy that was investigating his own son, and he was tipped off by the New York Times that his own son was being investigated. There is a lot more to this story, Ed, than I think anybody knows.
Yeah, the president's being scrutinized about what he's done, and you're right. There are a lot of people raising questions about what did Vice President Joe Biden do when he was in office, particularly because after he left office, as you've known, you've played the clip, he boasted about getting that prosecutor fired at a time when the Obama administration, not the Trump administration, was holding aid and loans over the head of the Ukrainian government at that time, Sean.
Yeah. $1 billion. Oh, you either fire him in 6 hours or, well, you're not getting the money. Same prosecutor investigating Burisma Holdings. That's the same company that his son was involved in and benefiting to the tune of millions of dollars. And we haven't even touched the China issue yet. Ed Henry, great report.
Thank you.
The whistle is our very.
There you go. Now I get, like, what shall we say? A very condensed version of what's happening, interesting enough. Now, today, the DOJ has released a report on the alleged whistleblower. As you've heard already, it finds anti-Trump political bias, complaint based on what? Hearsay and bogus accusations. What? Say it ain't worse. So it just keeps getting worse for the Trump-hating Democrats. In July, President Trump spoke with the new Ukrainian leader Zelensky after Rudy Giuliani announced he was traveling to Ukraine to investigate the Biden crime family. Now, according to the transcript released today, President Zelensky brought up to Rudy Giuliani and his investigations of the Biden crime family with President Trump. Now, according to President Zelensky, he says, quote, "We are ready to open a new page on cooperation and relations with the United States and Ukraine. For that purpose, I just recalled our ambassador from the United States, and he will be replaced by a very competent and very experienced ambassador who will work hard on making sure that our two nations are getting closer. I will personally tell you that one of my assistants spoke with Mr. Giuliani just recently, and we are hoping very much that Mr. Giuliani will be able to travel to Ukraine and will meet once he comes to Ukraine." It was Zelensky who brought up the Biden investigation, not President Trump. And now, meanwhile, the DOJ released on, which was Wednesday, yesterday, released a report of the anti-Trump whistleblower. So what does it say? All kinds of fun stuff. I don't even know where to begin. It's a good, what, I don't know, looking at 9-10 pages. I'm not going to tell you. Look, we're not going to go through all 10 pages. However, if you want to, check out gatewaypundit.com. It's on there. Read it for yourself. I always like you to be informed. I will tell you what's out there. You make the decision what's valuable, what is not. That's all I'm telling you. All right. Meanwhile, Giuliani's just... You ever get to one of those points in your life that one of these moments pops up and everything's going right down the line the way you planned it? That's what we got with Giuliani. Now, according to Giuliani, he says, the Democrats have stepped into something way beyond what they realize. And here he is on Fox News. Here, listen to it yourself. I always like to listen.
I think the Democrats have stepped into something way beyond what they realize. It reminds me of a fighter who is swinging wildly against a really skilled fighter who has a great right hand and puts him right down. They have walked into something that I was hoping they'd walk into for 6 months, and what they've exposed is probably what's going to turn out to be one of the major scandals of the early part of the 21st century, which is Joe Biden. It's a lot of money, Laura. It's not just Ukraine. It's a pattern of conduct. It's a very serious pattern of conduct. It really goes back to small-time stuff when he first got into the Senate with his brother,
right,
who was enriching himself on Biden's public office.
What?
And then the numbers got outrageous during the Obama administration. 5-6 million to a son who's a seriously incompetent person who got put on a board of the most corrupt company in Ukraine.
Rudy, the question
I have the records. I have the records of a $3 million laundered payment to Mr. Biden's son. I have the records. I have the dates. It went from Ukraine to Latvia, Latvia to Cyprus, Cyprus to ask your two lawyers this. That's called evidence of guilty knowledge.
So this is not the first time. It is not. Of course, they're all connected. The Biden clan, John Kerry, who should have been charged with violating the Logan Act months and months ago. And of course, Jim Comey's spies in the Trump White House. You're going, John, what are you talking about? Well, I'm going to tell you. What have I got coming up? What is this? What? I got here to... Oh, okay. We'll take care of that in just a moment. Let's take a listen to this.
Hey, listen, the Contra Radio Network is launching its own network, and we want you on board. If you have a podcast and you want to be heard, come on board the Contra Radio Network. That's right. Log on to ContraRadioNetwork.com for more details.
That's right. It is true. It is true. So, meanwhile, Trump's attorney, Jay Sekulow, reported that Comey's FBI inserted spies into the White House. We know that. These spies left the FBI and went to work for a company called FTI Consulting, the same firm that represented Hunter Biden's Ukrainian gas firm, Burisma. Oh, isn't that convenient? FBI operative Jordan Ray Kelly replaced Comey spy Anthony Ferrante, who was placed in the White House to spy for the FBI against the Trump administration. So, FBI operative Jordan Ray took over Ferrante, gave him access inside the Trump White House after he left government to work for BuzzFeed. Now, according to Secuelo's ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, which we really like, he says, what is disturbing is that, according to the same report, between the election and April 2017, when Ferrante finally left the White House, the Trump NSC division, National Security Council division supervisor, was not allowed to get rid of Ferrante. In other words, Comey tried to ensure that the White House had no authority to remove Ferrante. Somehow, the director of the FBI superseded the authority of the President of the United States, implanting an unremovable agent. And to make matters worse, the reports indicate that Ferrante was replaced in the White House by another FBI official, Jordan Ray Kelly, who signed security logs for Ferrante to enter the White House while he was contracted by BuzzFeed. Kelly left the White House last year and also joined who? FTI Consulting, the same firm Ferrante works for. Now, on July 2019, these two corrupt FBI agents were presenters at a conference hosted by Fordham University in New York City, which is also known as the Deep State U. Now, we know that FTI Consulting is also tied to the corrupt Biden family. According to a report from Time Magazine, that's Time Magazine, in July of 2014, David Leader, a former Senate Chief of Staff to Secretary of State John Kerry, signed on to work as a lobbyist for Burisma on May 20, 2014, about a week after Biden announced he was joining the company, according to lobbying disclosures filed this month. So Leader's involvement in the firm rounds out a power-packed team of politically connected Americans that also includes a second new board member, Devin Archer. Now, Archer is a Democratic bundler and former advisor to John Kerry's 2004 presidential campaign. Both Archer and Hunter Biden have worked as business partners with Kerry's son-in-law, Christopher Hines, the founding partner of Rosemont Capital. It's a private equity company. Doesn't this sound so incestuous? Doesn't it? I think it does. So Biden's office referred questions to a Burisma spokesman who says Biden has not been involved in contacting members of Congress or the Obama administration about the company. His role, like all board members, is to provide strategic guidance to Burisma, said Lawrence Pacheco, who works in Washington, D.C. for FTI Consulting, a communications firm that is also employed by Burisma. No wonder the Democrats are going after Trump. It's self-preservation. They're all connected, and the incestuous crimes together, over and over again. Everything that they accuse Trump of, they've either done and are doing. You make the call. Ridiculous. PJ Media. Roger L. Simon says he knows why the Democrats have gone insane. Oh, yeah, it is. Impeach, impeach, they say. If only he were Buckingham, they would take off his head as well. Trump has become the Democrats' version of Richard III, if he wasn't already. Okay, he was. He was. They even moved an impeachment inquiry, whatever that means, a little bit chicken if you ask me. They've been doing it for the last 3 years anyway. After Trump announced he was making his phone call with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky public Wednesday in unredacted form, and now he's announcing the whistleblower's complaint, whatever hand it is, second, third, or who knows, will be released later in the week. Talk about reckless jumping of the gun on the Democrats' part. This reeks of outright panic. So what's really going on here? Why are the Democrats, to put it bluntly, gone berserk? Why are they risking a backlash of cosmic proportions other than appeasing their psychotically inflamed base, of course? One, distraction. They live in absolute fear of the coming revelations about the Russia probe from Inspector General Horowitz, but even more from the DOJ's John Durham, who can actually put people in jail. The Dems know if they have a brain, and a few do. These revelations are likely to point up the line at the leaders of the Democratic Party, all the way up to former President Obama. They were all involved to one degree or another with illegally spying on or undermining Trump and his administration and supporters before and after the election. The extent of this, we are only beginning to understand. To put it mildly, not good. Whether you call this treason is up to you, but you can be sure middle America, for example, those elusive independent voters, will not appreciate it. That's you and me. But there's something worse, and Pelosi knows it. The only hope for Democrats to defeat Trump is, remote and quixotic as it may be, impeachment. In the midst of the current brouhaha, Joe Biden, their great, alas, white male hope, is being exposed is not just a senile plagiarist, but a senile corrupt plagiarist with a freaky family of a Southern Gothic novel with tentacles reaching into China and Ukraine. Again, not good. As Bush one would say, it's not good. It wouldn't be prudent. Unfortunately, the rest of the Dems have tacked so far to the left, they wouldn't be able to win an election in Shenyang. Sanders, speaking of senility, is almost risable. He wants to restrict populations for reasons of climate change, when every one of the myriad social programs he so vehemently urges depends on strong continued population growth for economic survival, irrespective of taxes. Is he that stupid? I don't think he's stupid. He's just a liar. As for a somewhat subtle clone, Miss Warren, her proposals are, if anything, more extreme because she fails to acknowledge, though Colbert did his best to encourage her, that they are going to cost a ton of taxpayer money that approaches national bankruptcy. Even taxing the rich at 100% won't come near supporting her ideas. Wait until Trump gets a hold of that one. So for the Democrats, trouble ahead, trouble behind, ergo impeachment. Of course, it will never happen. Pelosi knows that too. That's why she never held a congressional vote on this inquiry. And indeed, the whole spectacle might be amusing in a macabre sort of way if it weren't important things going on in the world. The president is engaged in negotiations of tremendous significance with the Chinese in trying to neuter as much as possible the violent mullahs of Iran. But the Democrats don't care. In fact, they would prefer he fails and seems to be doing everything in their power to make it so. To call that un-American is an understatement. Actually, it's despicable and deeply immoral. Not just for the citizens of this country, but for the world. What children? Think about this. I don't know what to tell you guys. You know, I just, it's ridiculous. It just is. How much time I got left? Oh, I got plenty of time. Plenty. Few preppers out there. I know preppers and patriots as a subculture many times fall into the subset there. And that's fine. That's good. But my question to you is this. I mean, I think we have to ask the question. And I found a very interesting thing here on the SHTF blog. A little thing says, what does prepping mean to you? Everyone's level of prepping is not the same. We know that. Some people prepare for the occasional storm, power outage, short-term hardship, or numerous other emergency situations. However, at some level, the need for preparation will apply to everyone. We all have to decide what prepping means to us and to what extent we want to pursue it. And we'll get back to it.
Attention podcasters, do you want to be heard? Come on board the Contra Radio Network. That's right, we're launching our own network and we want you to come on board. Bring your podcast and get your voice heard right here on the Contra Radio Network. Details coming soon.
There you go. Shall we continue? I think we should. For me, this is Tinderwolf writing. He's a contributing author to the blog and at Survival Catch. He says, for me, it goes beyond preparing for your average 3-day power outage caused by a storm. I believe we live in a world with unsustainable practices and lifestyles, and to that end, it is my belief that I need to be the mindset of being self-reliant long-term. So what is long-term? My definition of long-term would be a minimum of 1 year to, well, pick any number. First thing you do is you got to research your gear. In terms of gear, most of us get lost in products deemed tactically cool. It is easy to find yourself bookmarking pages of badass knives, right, Donald? Or falling into the trap of feeling the need to own a product in order to complete your bug out bag. In fact, for the first several years I embarked upon this lifestyle, I was on this path. When I first began prepping, I primarily concentrated on gear and wanted what everyone else was saying was the best. The most important thing to remember when it comes to gear is do your research. Cannot stress enough how important it is to research the gear in which you are interested. Sometimes the cheaper gear is better than the more expensive gear and vice versa. Also consider the specifics use of that gear for your purpose. The first knife that I purchased was advertised as a survival knife, but turned out to be a combat knife. Most knives are labeled as survival knives are not truly the kind of knife you want for a survival situation. Almost all the knives out there are labeled this way, are combat knives and not knives that will be effectively cut wood, process game, slice vegetables, or clear brush. They're for self-defense, period. There is not one tool that will do it all, but there are some that can do quite a bit. Most of the other gear I obtained included food, tents, sleeping bags, other tools. I quickly picked up at a local store online, and I purchased them after reading a few good reviews. I did not properly assess their purposes or durability for my family. I got the gear to have the gear. Now it is better to have these subpar items than not to have them. I mean, is that true? Mostly, you know, the answer to the question is yes. Will the brand name sleeping bag I bought at the big box store work at home when my power goes out? Yeah, it will. Will it work outdoors when it's 20 below zero? Is it worth staking your life on a piece of gear that will not perform its intended purpose? This is the question you need to ask yourself when purchasing a piece of equipment. After acquiring friends in the proper circles and participating in extensive discussions, I finally found the path that I needed to be on. First suggestion is to find someone who has vast life experience, whether it be in the military, the outdoors, in the survivalist field, and ask lots of questions. You should always ask lots of questions. Next, decide for yourself how to utilize and employ the combined knowledge you have gleaned from those more experienced than yourself. By limiting yourself to skimming some online product reviews, you may be unintentionally gambling with your friends and your family's future survival. I would add that about these online product reviews, you really don't know who the hell put that review there. It could be the proprietor's best friend, or his niece, or his nephew, or his wife, or his one of his kids. You just don't know. You don't know. You don't. The other piece of network I have regards for you prepping as far as this. It seems to be that there are a lot of people out there that prep towards one specific end. In the last several years, combat-related prepping has become the most popular and talked about. While you do need to be able to defend yourself, there are more important things to consider than what accessory is best for your firearm. To me, it is obvious to prep for the first dangers most common in your region. It does you no good if the main event you are prepping for is an EMP if you live in Tornado Alley. It does you no good to spend all your time and money stocking supplies to bug in with no plans to bug out if you live on a major earthquake fault line. It's akin to investing your money in the stock market. You want to diversify and not place all your eggs in one basket, so to say. So concentrate on local threats first and expand from there. Now, when it comes to firearms, I know people who prep strictly with high caliber ARs and pistols, or with obscure calibers, or with just hunting rifles, all of which will get you into trouble unless you diversify. You shouldn't have 10 ARs with thousands of rounds in stock. You shouldn't have just a 22 caliber and expect to get by. Ideally, you need to have a few ARs, some pistols, some hunting platforms. Just like the knife I spoke of earlier, every tool has a specific purpose, and there is not one tool that will do everything. It is not wise to hunt rabbits with a large caliber rifle or pistol, and you don't want to have to defend yourself with a 22 caliber platform. You will also want to invest firearms with the most common calibers available. In times of desperation, this will make finding reloading supplies and ammunition much easier. Look, you don't want to be stuck with a firearm you cannot use because ammunition is no longer available due to it being an uncommon caliber. Again, you need to do what is going to work for you and the people with you. If you only have large caliber platforms, a small stature person might have difficulty firing it. Also, please be realistic in your choice of platforms. I cannot tell you how many times I have heard and seen discussions among accessories and scopes. Someone needs to be hitting targets at 1,000 plus yards. I will respond to these people with, have you had any military or law enforcement training? Have you trained with someone who was or is in the field? Most of the time, it is people out there talking about their, you know what? And they have no business having those kinds of expectations of their skills. The one way my friend explained it to me was that if you are not prepared to live like the pioneers or how people did several generations ago, you will not make it. This is why, and for my purposes, is to obtain the knowledge and skills necessary to live and survive without any outside help. Yes, you will always need gear and supplies, but knowledge above all else. And why knowledge? Because knowledge is the one thing no one can take from you. They can't. Your education is the one thing no one can take from you. For example, if you're having a problem following along, you have learned to read. No one can take that skill of reading away from you. You have learned to do simple math. No one can take that skill from you. And the same is true when you're talking about prepping and outdoor skills. Once you learn it, you learn it. No one can take it from you. Could they kill you? Yes. But they can never steal it from you. All right. Now, this doesn't mean relying on a year's worth of, you know, or 20 years worth of MREs or other long-term food. It doesn't mean relying on the latest and greatest military-style rifle and a stock of 20,000 rounds of ammunition. It doesn't mean relying on solar wind power to power all your tools and appliances. Do you want alternative, you know, alternate energy tools like solar? Of course you do. We all do. Do I stock extra food and have firearms for hunting? Of course, so I do. However, all these things will run out, wear out, and break. The ability to have as many possible solutions to one problem is the key. Now, if a major event happens, the likelihood of resupply exponentially decreases with time. Let me repeat that. If a major event happens, the likelihood of resupply exponentially decreases with time. So even though you have your year's worth of bullets, beans, and band-aids, what happens after that if the situation is still bad? Some basic skills and knowledge that I believe you need to obtain. Basic maintenance, building, plumbing, electrical know-how, What if your house, a friend's house, or some important building is damaged? What if you need to bug out and the area you are in long-term doesn't have a decent permanent structure? Being able to frame up a small structure for living or a larger building like a barn and a way of containing livestock is paramount in your ability to survive and grow. Creating a garden and working the land is vital to your survival for food and a few other important raw materials. Most people grow small gardens in their backyards or on their balcony. But could you work a larger plot of land? What tools would you need for a full acre or larger food plot? What is the proper way to work it and maintain it? Do you know about crop rotation, fertilizers, watering, weeding, harvesting, and different seasons for different varieties of crops? Do you know the difference between GMO seeds and heirloom seeds? Now, GMO seeds are crops that are created to have a much higher yielding crop, but don't produce as many or productive seeds for replanting. Knowing how certain crops can complement each other is very extremely important. Take the Three Sisters planting method, for instance. This is where you closely plant corn, squash, and climbing beans. The corn provides a structure for the beans to climb. The beans will provide the nitrogen needed for the other crops, and the squash will spread out, blocking the sunlight, which will help in the prevention of weeds. Man up. Hey, sewing, it just isn't for females. Long ago, I learned basic sewing practices for fixing holes in my clothes. Recently, I've started to learn how to use a sewing machine to complete more complicated tasks. I've been using these skills to make my own belts and rifle slings. I've also been learning about patterns and hand sewing. Obviously, this helps in maintaining and making clothes, but also aids for other projects like creating belt holsters for tools, pouches, bags for carrying and storage, etc. It's an important skill because there might come a time when you can't buy more clothes. You might also not be able to depend on someone else to repair your clothes for you. I suggest investing, quite cheaply by the way, in a variety of needles and some spools of thread. I have found that if you go to the fabric store, the employees there are very helpful in finding exactly what you need, rather than shopping at the big box store. Joanne Fabrics. Practical medicine. Can't stress it enough. Talk to a lot of people that have these huge expensive surgical kits, but they don't have the knowledge to use 90% of the items in the kit. So why do they have it? Well, because it looks good and they have everything just in case. Again, it's probably better to have some fun items or some items than not have them at all. But how is it going to help you if you don't know the proper technique? The average person does not have a need for a fully stocked surgical kit because they do not know how to use it. When it comes to first aid, the majority of us will be dealing with common issues and not taking out someone's appendix. This is a waste of money and precious space. What the average person does need is the knowledge to treat common ailments and injuries. You need to know how to treat sprained ankles, burns, small cuts, how to stop bleeding, dental care, how to suture, natural remedies as antibiotics, etc. Being able to stabilize someone is also extremely important. Just a few of the areas in which I believe most people overlook and need to beef up their knowledge and skill base. The benefit of taking this route are the skills and knowledge that you will learn to help with you on your daily life, in addition to an event, a critical event. Whereas buying all the tools and food needed for a zombie apocalypse might look cool on the wall and make you feel good with a puffed out chest, but they don't necessarily serve any other purpose. Think about it. Think about what we just talked about, what I just said. So many things to do. So many. You know what we have not done in a while? Let me call it up here. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Yes, you know where I'm going. Even though we've heard these fools before, let's see what else we got. Let's see. Oh, you know what? I do wish the House Republicans would just come out and say this whole impeachment inquiry thing is like an IED. It is going to blow up in the Democrats' face. It's going to give them so much back blow that it's going to knock them on their backsides. And that's good. That's what we want. Oh, what else we got here? Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Don't tell me. I. Oh, this is so stupid. I can't stand it. But As what else we got here? Let me see. Let me get it here. This is so stupid. I can't stand it. Can I stand it? I can. Here we go. Yes, it's been a while since we've done with our social justice warriors. What are they up to this week? Who knows? But let's find out. The St. Paul School District is to pay $525,000 to a teacher who criticized racial equity discipline. That's a former teacher who criticized the district for failing black students with its lax discipline policies that did not hold them accountable for disruptive behavior. Let's see. Anheuser-Busch cancels Carson King over a high school tweet. Imagine that. Oh, what else we have here? On Nolte. He says, Rambo Last Blood is more proof you can't trust Rotten Tomatoes and its cabal of left-wing critics are deliberately looking to deceive us and even tag us as racist for daring to enjoy a perfectly acceptable piece of entertainment. Oprah Winfrey has picked reparations activist Ta-Nehisi Coates' novel for her book club. Her first novel is The Water Dancer. And it's, well, if it's Oprah, you can probably guarantee it's left-wing. New Zealand professor, he says, my book on free speech has been banned. Professor James Flynn of the University of Otago in New Zealand claims that his upcoming book on free speech was banned by its publisher due to its content. Drag Queen Story Hour for Young Children celebrated as part of LGBTQ Big Read event. The Hartford Public Library in Connecticut will host two Drag Queen Story Hour events Saturday as part of its library celebration of its LGBTQ Big Read campaign. Look, I don't care if you want to read to kids. Is it necessary for the drag queens to come in full costume? Leftist Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has managed the impossible. He has gotten conservatives to rally to his defense. All it took was media outlets revealing his passion for blackface. According to Martel, it says, ignore conservative pundits. Justin Trudeau is a racist. UK schools teach six-year-olds about masturbation. That's right. English school children as young as 6 years old are being taught lessons about stimulating their own genitals, following the government updating the national sex education curriculum. What the hell is going on over there? Look, there's a lot of conservatives in the UK. Isn't it about time you start taking back your country? If you got to go to prison, so be it. They can't imprison all of you, now can they? The New York Times is an anti-Semitic haven of racism and hate. So I'm thrilled the New York Times has chosen to embrace this cabal of racists because I am always thrilled when a person or organization stops hiding behind lies and reveals who and what they really are. That's John Nolte over at Breitbart. And of course, I don't know why any of you would, but the woke Emmys have failed. It's hit a new record low. So the 71st Primetime Emmy Awards on Fox drew a record low viewership on Sunday, as TV fans opted to tune out of the telecast that featured woke celebrities lecturing America on issues including the gender pay gap and transgender rights. Let me ask you something. I didn't watch it. I was not going to watch it in any way, shape, or form. Why would you want to watch a bunch of people who play pretend professionally, who get paid a lot of money to play pretend, when in fact, all they do is read and do what they're told? They're like trained monkeys. Why would you watch them? Now, apparently there are 6.9 million Americans who did turn in to watch these fools, pat each other on the back, and tell each other how woke and how great they all are. Why would you do that? You know what? I look at them as trained monkeys. When I want to be entertained, entertain me, monkey. Go where you're told to go. Say what you're supposed to say. Entertain me, monkey. Dance, monkey, dance! I do not watch any award shows that have to do with Hollywood. All you're going to do is watch them pat each other on the back. Oh, you're the best. Oh, you did such a great job. Viper Den, you know what? I couldn't have done without you. Let's check that out. A black pro-life activist says that Planned Parenthood CEO's denial of Sanger's racism, by Sanger, she's the one who founded Planned Parenthood, says denial of Sanger's racism is a desperate attempt to rewrite history. That's all they do. That's all libs do. We have to rewrite history to fit what's going on in the here and now. Two Emory law school professors are accused of using racial slurs in class. Hey, I'm not going to repeat it. I don't think it's necessary to repeat it. The United Kingdom government blocks culturally insensitive ban on cat and dog meat. It's a move to ban cat and dog meat, fearing it could offend people in Asian countries. Why don't you stop worrying about offending people in other countries and worry about your own damn country? This is what globalism gets you. This is what it's about. This is what it does. It gets your government to worry about what the hell's going on in another country. Who cares what's going on in the other country? Worry about the people that pay you, that you're supposed to represent, instead of worrying about, well, gee, it just might offend somebody. You know what? Here it is. I can't help myself. I can't help myself. Kiss my ass. Kiss both sides of it. Meanwhile, you got the mayor of London, Khan, who says hijabi women racially abuses Indian man in multicultural capital. How can that be? Oh, that's right, because they will not integrate themselves. They will not. I'm not telling you guys stuff like this. All right. Oh, who cares? Who cares what Patricia Arquette says? Boo hoo hoo. Oh, my Lord. The Labour Member of Parliament says the British must pay reparation. Links Trump to the KK wizard who backed Corbyn. The Labour Shadow Secretary of State for Women and Equalities, Don Butler, has said British businesses must pay reparations and link U.S. President Donald Trump to the former Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke, apparently forgetting that he endorsed her own party leader. You know what? It's amazing. If there's ever money to be had, by God, rest assured, they'll demand it. Oh, running out of time quickly. Let me see here. All right. Oh, guess what? Chick-fil-A has doubled its sales despite increased protest. Yes, yes, yes. Love it. Love it. Love it. Meanwhile, hey, look. Only got a little bit of time left. Hey, if you are a podcaster, you should come on the Contra Radio Network. Give us a try. And if those that come in now, ground floor, opportunity, and this includes for you that want to advertise with us, your rates still stay the same the entire time you're with us. We are going to be raising rates eventually, but right now is the time to get in. Get in now, whether you want to advertise with Contra Radio Network or whether you want to do a podcast, you want to do a show, you can. Come with us. Come to us. We'll give you the best price, and we're going to keep it the same. the entire time you're with us. Look at us. Think about it. All right? Think about it. More stuff is coming. I think you're going to like it. In the meantime, don't forget to listen to Don Lowry on The Underground Conservative and Mark Boyle, Prepper Guy. And listen to those two together when they get together on the Two Crazy Guys episodes. You want to just, it's funny. Mark gets Don wound up. Don starts cracking. And Mark just sits back and laughs. Until next time, have a good one.